Thank you, Jody. Would you guys stand with me and we'll read the passage for this morning from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who's never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot wants to go, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise God, our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we say together, thanks be to God. You can be seated. Well, first let me say, Jody, thank you. This is a great privilege. I'm honored to be up here in front of you guys. And let me just say a word about Jody. Like he mentioned, we've been in a small group together for about 3 years now. And the thing that I would, the thing you said about me, best thing about me is my wife, and I would agree with that. One of the best things, because there's many good qualities about Jody, one of them is just integrity. What you see up here on Sunday mornings is what he is away from here. He's a man who walks with the Lord, who trusts the Lord, who loves this church and the calling on his life. So we're led by someone that we can trust, and as he follows Christ, we can follow him. I want to talk to you about a ministry that every one of us can have. Verse 1, it says, not everyone should aspire to be teachers. If for no other reason, it's because teachers are judged more strictly. But there is a ministry that every one of us can have starting right now, starting this morning. In fact, you're going to start that ministry later this morning if you haven't already done it. And it involves our words. And so if you forget everything else today, if at lunch you're somewhere eating a chicken and somebody says, well, what was the message about? At least remember this, words matter. Words matter. And we're going to see that in this passage. Verse 2 says, we all stumble in many ways. I want to camp there for a minute. We all stumble in many ways. That word for stumble, it's sin. So we all sin in many ways. That's kind of good news to me, you know, that we're all going to stumble. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to have regrets at times. We're all going to have things we wish we hadn't said or done, participated in. But I think there's another kind of stumbling, too. It's maybe things that were done to us that we had no control over. So we all stumble in many ways. And here's what I have found. If I don't learn how to deal well in the stumbling, it sets me back. I mean, it's really dangerous to not learn how to deal well with the stumbles. That kind of came home for me earlier this year. I don't know why. I thought I had shared something with my wife that I never had. So I don't know why I felt the need to share it with her again. And we've been married for 33 years. And I realized, I thought I had shared this with her. But we were laying in bed one night and I said, you know, when I was a little boy, I was sexually molested by a teenage boy. Well, she had to go out of town the next day. So we didn't really get to talk about that. But when we got back, or when she got back in town, she said, you know, that's something we're going to have to deal with. And we started reading through a book called The Soul of Shame. And what it did for me is it started to surface all these things in my life that I'd always been aware of. It wasn't like these were memories that I didn't have. I remembered all these different things. But they were all shame-producing. And you add them all up, and it's like, wow, that's a theme in my life, is just shame. And here's what I found that shame can do. I mean, you know the difference really kind of between guilt and shame. Guilt is, you know, I feel bad for something I did. But shame is feeling bad for who I am. As if there's something wrong with me. And again, I get we're all fallen. We've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. It's more than that. It's there's something wrong with me to the point where I don't think God can bless me. I don't think God can use me. There's something wrong with me. Why do these things happen? Why don't things work out? Why don't I get ahead? Why all these different things can be a financial thing, a health thing, a relationship thing. But shame will creep into every area of your life and begin to infect like cancer. So Robin and I started walking through some of that stuff and talking about it as we read that book. And really the thing for shame is you've got to come to a place. I love some of the verses and the affirmations we read this morning and the songs that we sang. We've got to know the truth. The truth sets us free. So the opposite is true. A lie, which is what's behind shame, keeps us in bondage. There is no freedom in shame. So my question for you would be, what are you wrestling with in the area of shame? What is it that it feels like, you know, I've done something, or I've said something, I've had something done to me, I don't think God can move past that. That's a lie. There's nothing that's happened to us or that we've done that needs to keep us locked in shame. So I don't know what that is for you. I know there are a bunch of things for me. And I'm having to process all those things and believe the truth. That's why the book that Jody mentioned. It's why I started writing a blog, I think in 2007 or 8, called I Believe God. There's about 700 posts. If they're for no one else, they're for me. Because I need to remember what God says is true. That trumps my feelings. That trumps my circumstances. What he says is true. Words matter. And when God speaks, we need to listen to that. What he says is true. Here again is where words can be really helpful for us. Jody mentioned that we faced a health issue this last year. Actually, 260 days ago. Today is the 260th day of Robin's leukemia treatment. In fact, it's her last day. Today's the last day. She'll take 6 more pills today. She finished up at Highlands Oncology about 2 weeks ago. And the oral part of her chemo is wrapping up today. When we were in the hospital, what time is it? It was about this moment, 37 weeks ago, at this time. I might have texted Jody and said, hey, we're headed to Mercy Hospital. Robin has leukemia. They have a bed open and we need to get there right away. We had had a bone marrow biopsy 2 days earlier, and I think we probably knew something was more seriously wrong than, you know, we had hoped. But the diagnosis came on New Year's Eve morning. and we headed up to Mercy Hospital. They worked on her all day Sunday and started her chemotherapy or leukemia treatment at about, I think it was 10:30 that night. And they came into that room. She had to be in the hospital. We thought initially for 30 days. It turned out to just be 11 or 12 because she had stabilized. And in between being in the hospital for 12 days and about 100 trips to Highlands Oncology over the last 8 months, I can't tell you how many times her vital signs have been taken. I mean, her temperature, I guess the oxygen level in her blood, her blood pressure, her everything, you know, respiration rate, all of it. Every time, I mean, well over 100 times. So what's, when we were in the hospital, I just started thinking, what is the big deal with the vital signs? Because they were coming in like 4 times a day, maybe more, maybe it was 6 times, like every 4 hours or something, taking her vital signs. What's the deal? They're vital, right? Vital signs. If you don't have good vital signs, you're dead, or at least very, very sick. So they were checking her constantly. And it got me thinking, you know, that's in the physical. So we could take your blood pressure this morning. Mine's probably running a little high this morning. You know, maybe yours is too. But we could get a read on each of our physical condition by looking at our vital signs. So I just started thinking, what are the vital signs for our spiritual lives? As we're walking with the Lord, what could we measure? I thought, well, is it prayer? Reading God's word? Church attendance? How often you share your faith? What is it? I thought, no, those are really prescriptions. If you're spiritually sick, spend more time in his word. Be around other believers. Worship. Believe the truth. Learn to reject lies. Be around people who are trying to do that with you. So those really aren't the vital signs. The vital signs are your words. If I could hang around you, kind of a fly on the wall for an hour, and listen to your conversation, I could probably tell you how well you're doing spiritually. All of us could. We could listen if we knew what we were listening for. What is it that tends to come out of our mouths? Is it negative? Is it complaining? Is it whining? Here's one of the things I realized a few years ago. What's worry? Worry is me using my imagination to run out into the future and survey the scene, come back in time and report to myself it's bad. It's not going to work. And then what do? I worry, I get anxious, I'm fearful. I always leave God out of the equation. When I run out in the future to survey what it is, whether it's an hour from now or a year from now, I leave God out of the equation. It's like he ceases to exist past this moment. So whatever I'm going to face in the future, now I've got to face alone. That's not true. We read that in the affirmation. Today and forever. Check your words. They matter. They matter to you. I don't know if you've ever found this, but when you speak something, it has a whole lot more power than just thinking it. But if I hear your words, I can tell you what you're thinking and what you're feeling and what your beliefs are. So pay attention to your own words. Pay attention to the words of those around you. Because here's the thing. When Jesus in Matthew 28 said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth," how much authority does he have? All. Who does he share it with? He shares it with us. I mean, have you ever thought, why doesn't Jesus just wipe out the enemy right now? Why do we have to go through all the struggles that we do? He calls us into relationship with him, and then we do it together. We partner with the Lord to do life and ministry. It was never meant for him to do it all himself or for us to do it ourselves. Isn't that amazing? He calls us into partnership in ministry, all of us. We are called into partnership to believe him, and walk with him in his authority that he shares with us. So when you speak, you are speaking with his authority. So who has no authority? The enemy. When he speaks, he has no authority. Unless we believe him, then we give him power that he doesn't deserve to have. The liar only has authority if we share it with him. So again, it comes back to words matter. The story that you're telling yourself, that monologue that you've got, or hopefully it's not a dialogue in your head, but a monologue that you've got going with yourself. What's the story that you're telling yourself about yourself and about God and about life? Verse 3. When we put bits into the mouth of horses, they obey us. Verse 4. Take ships as an example. They've got rudders. I saw a video yesterday of an enormous aircraft carrier. And that thing gets turned by just a very small rudder, comparatively. And then we've got the tongue. It's a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. I don't know if you saw any of the wildfires in California this summer. Crazy what... There was one fire I was kind of interested doesn't sound like the right word, kind of followed a little bit near Redding, California. I don't know if you heard about that one. It was set on fire by a flat tire. A trailer was being pulled, I guess, through Redding. Tire probably shredded and came off, and the rim scraped the street, and the spark set off a 229,000-acre fire. I couldn't help doing the math. 229,000 acres, that would be Farmington, Greenland, Prairie Grove, Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers, and Bentonville, about times two. That's how much was wiped out in that one fire by just one little spark. One spark could do 229,000 acres. And that's what James is saying our tongue can do. It is that powerful. A word you speak, a word you even just think to yourself, great power. What are you doing with your words? What do you tend to hear coming out of your mouth most of the time? Because there's great power in what you're saying. When you hear it yourself, when someone else hears it. You can probably, like I can, think back to words that were spoken over you at some point in your life. I can remember my mother, I was probably, middle school age. And we were, as a family, going to go to a pool party at somebody else's house. I didn't want to go. I'm an introvert. I love being alone. I love being by myself. I'm never bored. I can always entertain myself somehow. So I wanted to stay home. And she labeled me that day as antisocial. I still remember that. That was probably 40 years ago. That is still in here. There are things in there for you that aren't true. And again, what we've got to do is identify those things and reject them. Just because we've believed something about ourselves for a long time doesn't make it true. That, in fact, that's the nature of deception. Here's how you can know you're deceived. If you would never tell someone else to believe what you're believing, then you're probably deceived. So for example, if let's say what I shared earlier. Somebody comes to you and says, I was sexually molested, or I was raped, or I was physically abused as a child. You probably would not say to that person, that's really not a big deal. Or you might have done something to deserve it. You would never say that to someone else. But if you believe that for you, then you're deceived. That's how you can check. If you wouldn't tell somebody else to believe that, then it's not true for you either. The problem is, it's like a broken leg. If I fell off this stage today and broke my leg, it would be obvious to everyone that I was not going to be able to run to my car to get myself to the hospital. Somebody would have to help me. And then I would have a time of recovery. I might have a limp for a long time. And it would be evident to everyone that something had happened to my leg. But what about your soul? Can your soul be wounded? Can it be broken? And then you just think, well, that's just the way I am. I'm just an anxious person, or I'm just discouraged, or, yeah, I'm abrasive. People don't really, you know, I rub people the wrong way. Or I'm never going to amount to anything. God's not going to bless me. You just believe these things, that's who you are, and it's not true. Verse 8, no human being can tame the tongue. No human being. I think by default, James isn't saying it can't be tamed, it just can't be tamed by us. And in the last series we did, we looked at the book of Ephesians, we looked in chapter 5, and Jody talked to us about, you know, being under the influence of the Holy Spirit in chapter 5, verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit means to be under His influence, His control. It doesn't mean your personality goes away. It doesn't mean your experiences go away. It means it comes under His authority and His control, and He gets to live His life through you. If you think about it, what are we doing in this life? Like, what is this all about? Why are we here this morning? Why do we even exist? To be in friendship with the one who made us, to spend our lives becoming more like Him, right? And then helping others do that. Now, I think we often ask, okay, what's God's will for my life? That's it. That's God's will for our lives. Live in a friendship with Him, become like Him, and help others do that. That's why we're here. If we miss that, I think we miss that because we listen to these wrong voices, the wrong words, and words matter. We've got to be sure we're listening to the truth. I love Jody's teaching. I don't know how many verses he takes us through each week. Getting God's word into our minds. I mean, we looked at Romans 8:6. The mindset on the flesh is what? It's death. The mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Isn't that what we want? We want life and peace. You know, the normal state of our mind should be peace. I've got a long way to go. If my mother was still alive, I would apologize to her. But she was a worrier. And I was a new Christian. And I had all the answers. And I here was the answer to her worrying. Well, just don't worry. And that's what I battle with. I battle with worrying. Like I said, I'll race out in the future, survey the scene, come back and say, this is bad. This is bad. So our words matter, not only the ones we speak to ourselves, but the ones we speak to each other. Because this doesn't work in isolation. This is a one another book. This is a one another adventure that we're on. I need you to speak words of truth to me. And I need to speak them to you. Because once we get outside these four walls, the world system is not set up to speak truth. In 1 John 5, it says, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. He pulls the strings behind the world system to do what? Negativity, shame, fear, worry, anxiety. And the only antidote to it is to stay in here and stay in, not stay in here all week, because we're called to go out there, but to bring this out there, to bring truth and life to those around us. You know that, what was that phrase when we were little kids? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a lie. I'd rather have a broken arm than to have somebody day after day wounding me with their words. Like I said earlier, I can remember things that have been said to me by others through the years that wounded. But we get to be the healers. That's part of our ministry. Every single one of us, we get to be called to be healers and go speak words of life. There's no one in this room that doesn't need it. I'm at the front of the line. I need encouragement. I need life. I need peace. I need joy spoken into my life. When my faith is low, I need somebody else to believe for me. I need somebody else to come alongside and speak a word of encouragement over me. We all need that, and we can all do it. You know, Jesus said the same thing back in Matthew 12. You think about, if you're locked in shame, that's what's going to come out. If you're negative, that's what's going to come out. You can't help it. I mean, he says in verse 34, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Again, your words are vital signs. I can tell you exactly how you're doing based on the words that I hear from your mouth, because it tells me what you believe and think and how you're feeling. It tells me your worldview. Give me enough time, I can tell you what you believe about your destiny, about your money, about your relationships, what's important, what's not important, what your values are. It's your words. So our words matter. I love Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Words matter. You can speak life or death into someone. It reminds me of John 10:10, where Jesus said the thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. There's the death part. What did Jesus come to do? Came to give life and give it abundantly. There's the life part. Here's the good news for me. Jesus is not calling me to do anything on my own. He wants to, through his Spirit, live his life through me and through you. He wants to live his life through your unique personality, among your sphere of influence, your friends, your neighborhood, your job, and speak life into those around you. I don't think we have any idea what one word or one conversation could do in somebody's life. But by faith, we know that just a spark can set 229,000 acres on fire. That is the power of the words we speak to one another. So here's what I want to do. I want to practice this morning. 1 Peter 2:9, I love this. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." I want you to read that with me, but I want you to personalize it. So, "But I am a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that I may declare the praises of him." So let's read it. Let's read it out loud and personalize it. But I am a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that I may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That is your ministry. You are a royal priest. You have been given authority by the king to speak words of life. And when you speak words of life over something, that's a blessing. That's what we're talking about. It's like every week when Jody walks down the aisle at the end of the service, gives a benediction, he's praying a blessing over us. And it's not just a prayer, it's not just a formal blessing, though. It's the words every day. I mean, husbands and wives, what are the words you're speaking to one another? Every single word matters. The good ones, the negative ones, they're like seeds. What are you planting every single day in each other? What are you planting in your children? What are the words that you speak to your children? What's the first thing they hear in the morning or before they go to bed at night or when you pick them up from school or when they've spilled their juice? What are they hearing from you? Life or death? It's like, oh, kids are resilient. I don't know. Maybe. Words matter. Let's look at, here's where we're going to wrap up. Here's the ministry that you're called to. A friend of mine did this for me 7 years ago, I think, for my birthday. That's the ministry that we're all called to. Jesus speaking into our lives. But what did we just look at? The fact that Jesus wants to live through you to do this to someone else. So we get to speak words of life into those around us. And it's life-changing. So in the book of Numbers, God instructed Aaron to pray a blessing over the nation of Israel. So we're going to do that. So what I want you to do, whether it's uncomfortable or not, that's okay. Find somebody near you, and if you don't have a partner, get with three of you then. But you need at least two of you. And in Numbers 6, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you're to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.'" And it says, "So they will put my name on the Israelites, my presence. I will be among them and I will bless them." So I want you to turn to your partner. You're going to repeat after me. One of you go first and then we'll let the other person do it. I want you to put your hand on the other person's shoulder. And one of you decide who's going to go first. I want you to look each other in the eyes and repeat after me. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." Okay, now the other person goes. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." And then verse 27, "So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." Let me pray. Lord, thank you that these words are true. We can believe them. Lord, we believe that the blessing we just pronounced over one another is true. And because you're good and you're faithful, you're going to answer what we just declared over one another. We are going to walk in your favor and your grace, your face shining upon us, Lord, because you're good. You're a good Father. We love you. We believe you. We choose to trust you. And Lord, I pray that as we leave today, the thing that we would remember is that our words matter. And we can speak life or we can speak death. And we're going to choose to speak life. Jesus, we ask this in your name. Amen.